You should take your Bible today and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is our last series in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Who's been here for every sermon, every week? Who's been here for every week? Congratulations, you've gone through a doctrinal treatise in the scriptures of where Paul was actually teaching the church how we should respond. And he's taught us about things in the past. He's taught about prophecies. He's taught about things in their presence. And he also taught about prophetic words, things that are going to happen in the future. And so today, if you were here last week, we were actually talking about, and the week before, we talked about the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the church of God in chapter 4. And Paul talked to the universal church. Now, if you ever hear that word universal church, not universalist, right? A universalist church believes anything. Unitarian universalist, they don't believe nothing. They believe a rock is God. And if you get around someone like that, share the gospel with them because they don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believe in many, many things that are God. They're the ones we call, people are called tree huggers, those who love everything and just there's a God in everything that you see. That's not biblical. Well, there are biblical cases of that, and that's called false gods, all right? That's not a view of the God of the Bible. Also, I want you to see the word Catholic Church. Little C. It's really capital C. It means universal. It means the same thing. The actual Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, who the Pope likes to be in the charge of, we're not a part of them. We're not a part of the Roman Catholic Church whatsoever. We are part of the Catholic Church, which means the universal church. If there's a church meeting in China this morning, they are part of the, if you will, the Catholic Church, the universal church. So the message for the rapture was for the whole church, for the universal, the Catholic Church. It was for the whole church around the world, every Christian. That message was for everyone. And now that Paul switches gears to the church of Thessalonica, and he's going to talk about the local church. He's going to talk about you and me. This is, you can find yourselves and your responsibilities in this passage of Scripture. Does it apply to the universal church? Yes, it does, but he gets very specific on how you should act and how I should act, how we should talk and how we should respond to one another. Let me ask you a question I've been thinking about. When I was a young man, I hated church with a passion. I thought it was a waste of a Sunday. Why would you waste a good day off when you could be fishing or washing your car or making some money or doing something? My question to you this morning, aren't you just tired of coming to church? If you're not busy doing the Lord's work, all you're doing is attending and taking up space. I asked Derek and together with Arlene and send out giving letters. Did anybody get a giving letter? Thank you for your gift to church this year. Anybody get a letter? I'm not going to ask you how much you. Okay, I see hands, some hands. And I told Derek, we want to get back to the day when George Avent was here. George, he and I got frustrated with how things were running at the church, and people who didn't give anything to the church were trying to control the church. It was frustrating. They gave nothing. They didn't even buy a roll of toilet paper, but they wanted to tell us how to run the church, how to manage the budget, what we should spend our money on. And so George used to sit back there, and he would give me a thumbs up during business meetings. But this is before we changed our bylaws, before the church got in order. And I said, start sending out letters every month, at the end of the year saying, thank you for your gift of. And if you gave nothing to the church, you got a letter that said this. And maybe some of you got it this year because Derek sent it back out, or Arlene did. Thank you for your gift of nothing to the Lord's work at Down Creek Baptist Church. Does that feel like a stinger if you got that letter? Who would be really mad at the church? Would you be mad at me or Derek? Thank you for your gift of absolutely nothing to the Lord's work. And some people that when we confront, because we ask if staff or deacons, if you go to serve the Lord in that capacity, it used to be, if you don't give now to the Lord's work, after you're elected as a deacon, would you start giving to the Lord's work? Does anybody consider that a dumb question? If a man won't give before he serves in the office of deacon, is he going to give once he gets behind the scenes? Absolutely not. God has to bring about convictions. So I want to challenge you today as we read this scripture, be careful when you read it. It's going to sound like the pastor is self-serving. Let me get past the first two verses, then you'll see what I'm talking about. So hang tight on your bulletins. How many of you guys have guessed the letter of the day? Thomas doesn't count because he cheated and stole my notes off my desk today. So wherever Thomas is, Thomas is in the back. Does anybody guess the letter of the day? The letter of the day is going to be the letter V. Letter V today. So let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I might want to remind you as well, next week we start 2 Thessalonians, which we've never done a back-to-back book like that. There's a time period change there, but we're going to have a large group. If you've never been to Catalyst, next Sunday at 9 a.m., we'll meet in here for a large group Catalyst. All the classes come in here, and Oren Salas is going to teach for us, and then we're going to launch out into our 2 Thessalonians, and it's going to talk about end times, the man of lawlessness, some things you might have questions about that looks like we're teeing up really good right now for. I don't know if the Lord's coming back, when he's coming back, but I'm telling you, it's looking good. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 12. And we have some scriptures to go along with the scripture if we get there. And I want to encourage you, look these scriptures up when you get home. We won't have time to read all of the ones that go along with the scripture with today's message, but please look them up because it has to do with your daily living in Christ. All right, let's go. Let me ask this before we start. Who in their heart of hearts would like to do the will of God and please God? Would you like to do that? All right, this is a one portion of the scripture is going to tell you how to do that. This is the portion of the scripture that says, Lord, I really want to do your will. And this even says, this is the will of God, a portion of it. So this is going to teach you how to do the will of God, but how not just to come to church and sit, soak and sour, and then go away and say, I'll come back some other day. Not when it's convenient. You should be active. If you're a Christian today, you have at least one spiritual gift to use for the Lord in his local church. Now, you'll do some things out for nonprofits, out in the community, but your primary service begins right here at the house of God. If you're a Christian, this is your place of service, then you go there. Let's go into the Word together today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Are you there? Say amen. Let's begin. Paul writes now, and we urge you. He's going to start at who's the we? If you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, Paul said, me, that's me, the Apostle Paul. We have Pastor Timothy with me, and we have Pastor Silas with me, and also on behalf of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's encouraging us today? We can say it is God who is encouraging us through his mouthpiece there, the Apostle Paul. And we encourage you, brethren, this is for Christians only, and we encourage you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Who's those that are above you? Yeah, this is one of those passages, if you're not careful, that's why the Bible says very clearly, in first, Paul talked about a new pastor, a new believer. Don't let a new believer become a pastor because he is subject to be led astray by pride like Satan himself was led astray by pride. So that's why when a young man says, I want to be a pastor and lead a church, and Wendy and I were in a conference this week, and the pastor said, all I wanted when I got out of seminary was have my name on a sign. Well, God forbid that would be our focus, wouldn't it? All I want to do is follow the will of God. Wherever he leads, I'll go. The answer is yes, and when the question gets put before you, it's yes already, Lord. Not something where you actually take this passage of Scripture. And there's many, many pastors today, and there are a lot of them in the prosperity gospel will take these passages of Scripture like this and say, listen, you are to honor me, and I am worth the double honor. And they'll call in themselves and say, this is a passage how the church is supposed to be. But look carefully. There's a clue that you're actually, we're going to see that the actual word tells us there. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those. There's a key word. What does your Bible say? Those who labor. If the pastor doesn't work, the pastor should be fired. Amen? If the man of God is not out leading in the front, and a pastor works lots of hours, even behind the scenes, but a pastor is worth honor if he's a laborer. He's the oxen that's not to be muzzled, to be fed, right? He should be starved to death because a lot of churches, especially country churches, they believe the pastor should starve, right, and serve the Lord with humility and starve him to death. That's not biblical either. He is to be honored, but he is also to labor. The pastor is to be the one who's pushing the cart. Now, in the church, we talked about it in College of Career this morning. There's two, Town Creek Baptist Church, there's two churches, or two names within the church. We are Town Creek Baptist Church Incorporated. I know that feels dirty, it feels gross, but it's America, and this is where we are. We are right now our budget, what is it, $2 million, Derek, roughly? We're a $2 million corporation, nonprofit corporation. Does that feel gross? Yeah, it feels gross to me that the church is even lined up with the business models of that. But if you're not careful, that's where all the fights come from, is in the business model, the nonprofit of the church. We have to function in that way in this litigious society that we live in. And so, therefore, in the church side, in the nonprofit side, guess what that makes me? The CEO. You're a pastor. I'm not the CEO of the church. If you study federal law and corporation laws, every pastor is the CEO of the church. Unless the bylaws dictate something different. But somebody has to be appointed. But listen, go back over to the Acts chapter 2 church, and guess what that makes me? The bottom slave of the church. And there's people who were under me. There were apostles. Paul said, we're just like trash. We're just nobodies. Serving the community. And then below them was Jesus Christ, who died on the cross naked for your sins and for mine. He was the chief servant. Then the apostles. Then pastors. And then deacons. And then the body of Christ. So in the model of the corporate world, it's backwards. But pastors have to play both ends, right? We have to do both sides of the pickleball match, if you will. We got to run around the net a lot. So that's why people get upset in the church. But let me encourage you, let's keep going. So the pastor has a responsibility. And that's why, by the way, we have a new members class. And that's why you have to be 18 years old to join the church. You ever heard someone say, I got saved and joined the church when I was 7. You joined the church, Acts chapter 2, church. Yes, you did. You're part of the universal Catholic church. You give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in the body of Christ. You're in the kingdom. But you're not part of Town Creek Baptist Church Incorporated. Can't be until you turn 18 years old according to federal laws. Isn't that crazy? I know that stresses some of you out, but it's just the reality of every church. So don't think you're going to leave here and jump down the street and say, well, I'll go to that church. They don't believe that stuff. Did you know if it's a truth and you don't believe it, it's still a truth? Did you know if it's a truth and you don't like it, it's still a truth? I just wanted to share the truth with you this morning. When we read this, if you're not careful, you can build a cotton candy church and say everything's sweet and sticky at church. It's not always that way. It's not always clear cut in where we live today. So I just wanted to share that with you as we continue to go. Let's go now. Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Here's some commands, some general commands. Now we get positive. Rejoice when? Always. Pray without ceasing, meaning don't stop. Have conversations with God. And here's the will of God. Look, mark this in your Bible. If you ever wonder what is the will of God, this is one portion of it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, here's some more blessings and admonitions for the church. Let me read them, and we're going to practice this at the end of service. So, you ready to be a New Testament church? Okay, we'll find out. We're going to see. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. How does God sanctify you? Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us, Paul says. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. This is what we're going to practice in the church. We're going to kiss our neighbors on your pew. Go ahead and look at them. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All the young people are used to making smoochy lips on social media, so the girls have this down pat, right? And I think some of the boys have. I've seen some of y'all's social media posts. So you already got the smoochy lip, and it's not a kiss here. It's a kiss on the cheek and a kiss on the cheek. So go ahead and look to your neighbor and say, get ready. Go ahead and look at your neighbor. Say, get ready. End of church is coming. This is the day that you hope the preacher preached a long time, right? Just kidding. We're not going to kiss each other this morning, but it is a cultural thing. How many of you guys have ever been a part of a culture where you are been into a culture, whether you lived in it, grew up in it, or visited a culture where they greet one another with a kiss? Raise your hand if you ever have. All right, how many of you have never been a part of that culture? Okay, let me just, I was that, those people until I traveled a lot. And then when I go to other cultures, I get slobber kisses on my cheek in Turkey, in Africa. I get the different countries going to Africa, get kissed. When the Canadians in Canada would get kissed, and they're like, man, I don't like this mess. Y'all know I don't like to be hugged. And then kissing's a whole nother level, right? HNL, whole nother level. And so it's something that you have to adjust to and love. You'll fall in love. It's a great way to hold each other, right? In love. It's the way to present yourself in love. I want you to go to your notes. I want you to see this because there's more scripture to go with the scripture. You say, Pastor, this stuff's self-explanatory. You're exactly right. It is self-explanatory. The question is, are you living it? Are you exercising what God says to do? Are you being obedient to what God says to be obedient to? That's the question for today. Look at the notes, if you would. The leaders of the local church are given authority by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Did you know that you don't give me authority? The federal government doesn't give me authority. I'm not looking for a name on the sign. By the way, I've been here 14 and a half years, and my name's still not on the front sign. If you notice, my name is in the bulletin only when I'm on call. So the authority for a local pastor, even the authority for deacons, it's not a popularity vote. And we're going to be taking names for deacons again. It's not a popularity vote. It's men who are serving the church of God. And did you know that a woman cannot be a pastor in the local church? She can't be the head. The head of the church is Christ. No matter what our culture dictates, no matter what your church, if you grew up in, says, listen, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he must be, he must be, he must be, he must be. Likewise, deacons, he must be, he must be, he must be. There's deacons' wives, and deaconess is in the Bible. Prophetess is in the Bible. You'll see some Old Testament, some New Testament. We don't have time to preach on that today. But let me tell you, the office of pastor is for men only that are approved by the Word of God and by the Son of God. Let's continue. And that's counterculture today. Even in the Southern Baptist Convention, when we go to Dallas this summer, people are going to be arguing, can a woman be a pastor? You know what we did last year? I didn't get to go last year. They just kind of moved on it and just kind of passed it over and didn't have a response. Even though our statement of faith says very clearly that only the office of pastor and deacon can be held by a man. And there's qualifications within that. So the leaders of the local church are given authority by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head. He is the head. Why? Because he holds everything together and he's the savior of the church. Jesus died for you, and if you give your heart and life to him, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And once you're saved, you become part of the church of God. And then when you become part of the church of God through his blood, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, he becomes your head. As we were singing the song just earlier that we were singing about God sending his son to die on a cross, I couldn't help but look at the Lord's supper table. We're going to look at this, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where it says, listen, remember what he did for you. He died on the cross for your sins, but also remember he's coming again. And as we sing that song and as we look at that table and as we partake in that bread, as we read the word, we're always looking, saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Like John said in Revelation, we're looking forward to the day that we will be with him forever. Well, let's continue. This might surprise especially a lot of old Baptists. If you've been in a Baptist church a long time, as a result, the church is neither a dictatorship, meaning the pastor doesn't get to dictate things, nor a democracy. It's a theocracy. Theo means what? God. Who's in charge of 250 Town Creek Road, the church here? The Lord Jesus Christ is. He's head of it. We'll do things. And have we ever made somebody mad? Brothers and sisters, we made, and maybe some of you have been mad. When Chris designed the music this morning to worship God, I don't know if he was thinking about you, but I told him, don't think about anybody in the room but the invisible witness here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing to God. We worship music. Whether you like it or not, there's people who walk out, and listen, I've heard it. It's not, you don't do all this crazy stuff in silence in a small local church. People who walk out during music, because I don't like that music. There's people who walk out during the service because they don't like it. And pastor, he thinks he knows everything. They'll walk out. You'll see him. Now, if you got a bladder problem this morning, step out. We're not going to judge you, right? If you got to go to the restroom. But we've asked you time and time again. At the invitation, when we say, come to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, it is absolutely distracting for you to peel out on the front and walk all the way out the back. Because people, we're asking people, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And you don't care enough about somebody that's given a heart and life to Jesus Christ to stay in here and listen. You can hold it just for a little bit longer, right? If you're watching the Cowboys game live, if you're going to a basketball game live, if you're at the Masters live, you're not going to say, ooh, I really got to go. You're going to wait for that tee shot, and then you'll go do what you got to do. Well, listen, let the Lord have his tee shot in here. Let the Master, not the Masters, let the Master do his work, and then go to the restroom or go before you come in. And if you have a problem, please go. I'm not saying if you have a problem. I'm just saying week after week, you'll see the same people many times at the invitation. Come give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Boop, got to go to the restroom. And if it's your child doing it, hey, how about grab them and say, hold it, or we'll clean it up after church. Teach your children, right? If you got a problem, don't drink water before coming in. If you pass out, we'll hydrate you. We'll call an ambulance. We'll do something. Listen, I'm just telling you to respect the movement of God. If God's moving, don't distract from him. Don't take away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This is true for the Word of God. Through the Holy Spirit, God calls and equips individuals for leadership within the church. If you ask any minister worth his salt, it says, listen, did you want to be a minister? There's a varied question to that. Well, my mama said I'd be a good minister. I've heard a pastor say that. My mom said I'd be a good pastor, so therefore I went into the ministry. Wrong reason to go in the ministry, right? Most of us that are in the ministry come from a calling, but we come kicking and screaming. We're running as hard as we can into the barbed wire fence, and God's like, you're not getting out. I'm going to get you. If you want to come bloody, come bloody, but you're coming, right? It's a call of God, and that's when I say the Lord Jesus Christ calls his pastors, his leaders within the church. And God is always guiding and supporting his church. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe God guides us through all things? But some qualifications for the guidance. We must be obedient. We must be praying to him. We must be asking him, Lord, what do you want us to do? Because many times we can plan to the maximum, can we not? Somebody comes in, well, I visited the church when I was on vacation, and they do this drama, or they do this music, or they do this event. We should do that at our church. And I want to encourage you, when I came here from Spartanburg, South Carolina, Aiken, South Carolina is only 2 hours away, but it's a world of difference here in Aiken, South Carolina. We're completely different than Spartanburg, South Carolina. Completely different. Take my word for that. If not, go visit the upstate if you have a chance to go on vacation. It's different. Well, look at your notes that I want you to see. God, through the Apostle Paul, instructed the Thessalonian church to recognize, acknowledge, appreciate, and value their leadership that was over them in the Lord. You say that sounds self-serving, Pastor. It is. Isn't it great that I can read this passage of Scripture? Aren't you glad that God cares enough about the local pastor to take care of the local pastor? Aren't you glad, if you keep reading, he's going to take care of you too. Aren't you glad that he cares enough about the Christian in the pew, the Christian in the street, the Christian that's in the shut-in in a nursing home? Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ cares enough for them, that he has a word for them and a care for them through the body of Christ? Aren't you glad? I'm talking about you. Aren't you glad someone loves you enough to care for you? Aren't you glad that someone loves you enough to tell you the truth? Aren't you glad enough? I don't know if you saw Steve Hightower bring down. I looked up here and didn't see water bottle, and I was like, oh, man, I forgot a water bottle. Steve walked down smiling, handed me a water bottle. Did y'all see that happen? Handed me a bottle. He said, I saw you look over. Why is he watching my eyes? It's none of his business what I was looking at. He ministered to me just that quick this morning because I just got through teaching, and it was hard. I want you to see this. Continue. Let's read Hebrews 13:17. This is one, boy, this one will get you right here. If you're not used to being in the church and you haven't read the Word of God, go to Hebrews 13:17. I want to add the scripture. I want you to see what it says. And by the way, Hebrews is probably our next, after 2 Thessalonians, we're going to go through this because it's an incredible treatise on the Word of God, past, present, and future. Not out of context, but let's read this. Hebrews 13:17. Are you there? Say amen. Let's read it. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your what? Souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. How many pastors today are stressed out because of their job? They hate their job. Wendy and I were with the 258 pastors and wives, and you'd hear a common theme, stressed out. We're burnt out. Can't do anymore. Well, God doesn't call a pastor ever to burn out. If you think he's supposed to do that, or listen, you've got it all wrong. He is supposed to look out for your souls. Now, your soul's being saved through Jesus Christ. But did you know, and I'm going to tell you a fact, you might not know this and you might know, did you know that Jesus Christ is not being preached today from pulpits as the only way to heaven? There's people, if you interview them, they are saying there's multiple ways to heaven. Oprah Winfrey said, well, I choose Christianity, but I believe there's a multitude of ways of getting to God. Can I tell you this morning, every single soul that's ever been created is going to make it to God. But you're going to see him in two different categories. You're going to make it to him. If you belong to him, you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you're going to see him as your Father, and he's going to welcome you into heaven. And everything that Jesus has, he said, you're joint heirs with Jesus. You'll rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. and everyone else who says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. I believe there's other ways to heaven. The Bible says those people are going to stand before him at the great white throne judgment and give an account why they did not profess or confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And even so then, it says, listen, whether you like it or not, whether your mom or daddy like it or not, whether your culture likes it or not, the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Listen, why not do it now before you get there? Why not do it now and confess him as Lord and Savior and receive him as your Lord and Savior and bow before him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the only way. Do it now while you're living, because you're going to do it after you die and are resurrected for judgment. And then he's going to cast you into the lake of fire and say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, those who love sin more than you love my Savior. Church, that's a serious indictment, is it not? Read Philippians. You're going to bow your knee. You will bow your knee. Read Acts. You will bow your knee before God, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. But only the Christians going to heaven bow their knee, praising the Lord forever and ever and ever. I just watched an interview a couple weeks ago with our, I forgot his name. He was our health and human services guy when Trump was in the first time. He was a brain surgeon, Dr. Carson. And the guy said, Dr. Carson, he's a Seventh-day Adventist. Do you really believe hell's going to be forever and people are going to be tormented forever? I'm afraid to ask that question, but do you believe that? And he goes, no, I believe it's for a season. He hasn't read the Bible. Read what the Lord Jesus Christ says. That means the devil's only going to be in hell for a season, because God is faithful and true. And listen what he says. Listen, you are going to live forever with Christ in the new heaven and new earth, or you're going to live forever dying in hell. You're going to be aware. You're going to get that new spiritual body. It's never going to be consumed. You're not just going to burn up in ash and it's over. It's torment after torment after torment. Choose 1 million, 2 million years. Pick a time. And listen, God says from everlasting to everlasting. Listen, that's how long he lives. And he says, eternal life or the second death? What do you want? God gives us options through every book of the Bible, just about, even Old Testament. You can see Jesus preaching through the prophets, preaching through the priests. Listen, the sacrificial system. You can see God making a way for mankind, sinful man, to make it to him if we would only believe and obey. Let's continue. Well, here we are. A valiant spiritual leader will work hard and faithfully shepherd the flock of God. We have responsibilities as ministers. We have to work and stand in the forefront. We have to defend the church of God. Is it always easy? Look around. My responsibility is here. Even though you answered directly to Jesus Christ, but look around. Is it easy? No. How many of you have a personality? How many of you are married? If I talk to your spouse, what is your spouse going to say about you? Oh, she's the easiest woman to get along with, Pastor. She doesn't talk to me all the time. I listen to her on a regular basis, and we have a beautiful relationship. She speaks, and I listen. I speak, and she listens. We've never had an argument. We always get along. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? My coworkers, like angels from heaven. My professors, they're right in line. They teach me biology, and they just cut right down the seam. They tell me all about the love of God, creating Adam and Eve. Listen, we live in a real world, do we not? You have complications in your family. Imagine in the family of God the complications that we have together. We put the fun in dysfunctional, do we not? If we're going to be dysfunctional, might as well enjoy it while we're here. And what do? Pastor, pray for this. And listen, we join together, we pray. You're encouraged to pray right on the back of your Connect card. Pray for this. And I believe some of us don't believe that we're praying. Some of us don't believe that God can work, even when your situation seems like it's falling apart. Let me continue. The church is called to live in peace with one another. We are to verbally admonish those who stray. Encourage those who lack spiritual courage. Help the weak in faith. And exercise patience with everyone. And the reason we put exercise patience, listen, you don't need more patience, because when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, patience is the fruit of the Spirit. You have full patience. You just like your will, your self-will, more than you like God's will to be done when you get angry. Well, I'll just lose my temper with people. I just cannot take it. Listen, that's because you're not exercising the fruit of the Spirit that God has put within you. It's just like self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you exercise those? And I put it in there for you. You'll see in Galatians 5, it's later notes, you'll see down there, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, Paul says, these are the things that will exude from you. You will see, other people will see, this man, this woman loves the Lord Jesus Christ. This child loves Christ because they're kind, they're faithful, and they show me love, and they're patient with me. The church, go to your next note, must refuse to be vindictive or driven by revenge. During COVID, were we vindictive? Everybody's saying shut down, shut down, shut down. Even other ministries, other preachers were calling me saying, what are you doing, man? You're messing us up. Why are you staying open? This just happened, right? Just a couple years ago. Why are you staying open? We've closed the church. At any time in a Baptist church especially, when does the pastor have the authority to lock the front doors and say, we're not having service today? How would y'all feel if I did that? If I just changed the locks on the doors and listen, it's too scary in here, and I locked every door in the church. And when you showed up for church on Sunday morning, I was like, we're not worshiping today because it's not safe. That's a matter of fact, what every church did. Pastors, people's like, well, the pastor made a call, and the pastor said we can't meet. Any other time, they're crucifying the pastor saying, he's not telling us what to do, right? But in that case, they wanted to stay home, so therefore they said the pastor said. And the pastor's like, what are you doing, Clint? Why are y'all open? I said, because we actually believe, and we believe what we preach and teach and sing because we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And listen, he knows us, and he can protect us. The very one that we said is a strong tower, guess what we think he is? A strong tower. Guess the one that we say he's an ever-present help in trouble. Guess what we happen to think he is at Town Creek Baptist Church? He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And if we said, if you're sick, what should you do? Stay home. We didn't even tell you to go to the doctor because I didn't believe in some of the treatments they were doing. We just said, stay home. And if you die, guess what I would do? Your funeral for free. And guess where you'll be? In heaven. We couldn't lose. Listen, if we truly believe the word of God, why should we have fear? We didn't want to get sick. I got nasty COVID. I got the worst version of me and Wendy at the same time. We couldn't breathe. We thought we both were literally going to die. And we pushed each other till the Lord got us better because we didn't get better. We didn't go to the hospital. We got fussed at by family. They nursed us, took care of us, but we made it through. Can I tell you something? COVID, whatever's next. Can I tell you that God is faithful? He's forever faithful to his body. And when you say, well, I knew somebody that died. You think they're upset about it today? You think they're having a round table up in heaven talking about COVID? No, they're not. What are they doing in heaven? Rejoicing and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, as a Christian, we can't lose. Shoot me, I die, I go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ while I'm breathing and while I'm living. That's our responsibility. Watch, we have more responsibilities. We must not be vindictive or driven by revenge. We are never called to repay wrong for wrong or evil for evil. NIV says wrong for wrong. Instead, we must be relentless in our pursuit of what is good, showing kindness and compassion to each other and to everyone we encounter, even the knuckleheads that disagree with us or want to fight us. Read Romans 12. It tells us clearly, if you need a checklist, I've told you time and time again, if you happen to be one of those people, I just need a list, Pastor. If you just give me a list of things to do. You have one today's passage, but Romans 12 is a perfect list of how to live the Christian life. But don't forget, you can't live the Christian life. Christ has to live it in and through you. So don't think you're going to go master the Christian living unless you have the master guiding you through it. Amen? Let's finish. Let's continue. This is good stuff, y'all. This is how we should live. This is God's will. The church should always walk in victory. Have you ever talked about faith is the victory that overcomes the world? Faith is the victory. Did y'all ever sing that? Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious what? Victory that overcomes the world. And many times we don't sing the victory songs anymore because I believe we do here, obviously. I believe because people don't believe we have the victory in Jesus Christ anymore. We bought into the lies of society. We're like, hey, I don't want to push my religion on you. Listen, if I could take a dump truck and a dozer, I'd push it all over Aiken County, right? Everywhere I go. We were at a restaurant, went down to Hilton Head yesterday, and the guy was talking about he wants to use churches. Great restaurant, by the way. I'll tell you what it is when I'm not on the air. But the young man said, I want to extend the business. And we talked about, he said, I'd love to get in churches. And Wendy gave up and went outside and sat in the car after we'd already finished eating. And what it did is no more customers came in. It was amazing. No one sat around. And I said, hey, let me ask you something. Have you ever given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? I mean, you want the business of the church, but do you want the Lord of the church? He said, well, I was raised Lutheran, and he gave me this whole religious spiel. I was like, that's not what I ask you. I ask you, have you given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, well, I'm recovering from, I've been part of a recovery program. I'm in a 12-step program, and, you know, I found my religious way back to God. I'm finding my way back. Me and my girlfriend finding our way back. What's the answer? Has he given his heart and life to Jesus Christ? It's works-based, but here's the deal. He opened a door for me to ask him the question, guess who I'm praying for, and guess where I'm going to eat, because I like the food, number one. I really like the food. And number two, I'm praying for him and his girlfriend that they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not religion that saves you, church and friends. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He must convict you of your sins, and you must say, I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And when you believe, the Bible says, with your mouth you confess, with your heart you believe, listen, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and God raised him from the dead on the third day, just as he said. This is God's will. The church should always walk in victory and find joy in faith, staying strong and consistent in prayer, especially prayers of thanksgiving to God. This is God's desire for the church through Jesus Christ. And I gave you Philippians 4:4-8. Read it again. He says, rejoice there, give thanksgiving. You know, have you ever had somebody just always negative, no matter what? You say, God's good, man. Wasn't it good to be in church today? Yeah, but the pastor preached too long. Wasn't it good to be in church today? Well, I didn't like the music too good. Well, wasn't it good to be in church today? Well, that baby was crying, and I just wish they hadn't come in with that baby, right? If you're not careful, listen, you can crash the best plane around, can you not? This is the captain speaking. We're flying at 33,000 feet. Hope you enjoy your flight. Would someone come up that's helped me fly the plane, and then you get up front and that person goes, they just want to take it to the mountains, right? They'll crash a good plane, a good flight in any time. Can I exhort you, my brothers and my sisters, don't be that person. Find a reason to give thanks to God for every situation. You say, well, it's hard. It didn't say, look, my Bible does not say it's easy. Anybody find the word easy? Verse 18. In everything, do what? Come on, in 18, look. In everything, in the good times, what are you doing in the good times? All right, let me just say, y'all are acting like, I don't want to talk because now you're setting me up. I'm setting you up. I am setting you up. Well, the Word of God is. How many of you guys have ever had good times in your life? You prospered, and man, that was just a sweet time of living. Anybody ever had a good time in your life? Raise your hand. Did you give God thanks? How many of you guys have ever had a terrible, rotten time? You maybe even a dread disease or heart attack or whatever it might be. How many of you guys ever had a really bad time? Did you give God thanks in that time? If you didn't, do it in the future. Which is easier, to give God thanks in the good times or the bad times? Always the good times. That's how we're wired. Listen, I can say thank you, God, when it's good. But when I'm getting disciplined by God, or I'm going through just because his body's broken, I live in a sinful world, sometimes it's hard to say thank you, God, and have a heart, an attitude of gratitude. But we have to work on that, do we not? Who helps you say thank you, God? The Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ does. All right, let's see. Here's where we turn the page. Our church is better than your church. Yes, it is. And some of y'all are church shopping. Can I just tell you, it's the wrong church to shop in. We don't have the kind of stuff you like. Well, I like the children's ministry over at Millbrook. Man, they got a great children's ministry. I like the music down at True North. They got really good music. And I really like senior adult ministry over here, whatever church it might be. And what happens is people go church hopping and shopping, right? Boop, 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 boop. are you ever going to minister hopping and shopping churches? Absolutely not. Well, I'm just trying to find one that fits our family the best. That's the wrong thing to do. God, thank you that you give us the opportunity to find a church home. May you use me and my family to grow where we're planted. We'll take our seeds, our gift of the Holy Spirit, and we'll grow in Jesus' name. We'll make disciples of Jesus Christ if it kills us. Why are y'all looking at me like that? You know you are some of those folks, and some of you were those folks. I'm not joining a Baptist church. How many people, we've had Catholics here, Methodists here, Presbyterians here. Yeah, every stripe of people come to our church and say, well, I'm not going to be baptized up there. I was baptized like this, or during COVID with a squirt gun. Did y'all see some of the christenings? The priests were squirt gunning people. Can I tell you this? I don't care about your baptism, but I know someone who does. He said, go make disciples, become a Christian, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I taught you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We can't make disciples if we're not telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. Every baptism in the Bible was by immersion. That's why Town Creek Baptist Church spent so much money building that big old pool, and the water bill goes up. And listen, we love when the water bill goes up as long as it's not a leak, right? That takes a lot of water. So we don't say we're perfect. We just say the best we understand. The Bible teaches Jesus came up out of the Jordan River. The word baptizo means to immerse, to go under and come up. So listen, bless God, we're going to baptize everybody that wants to be a member here, if you've never been baptized, through the waters, the deep waters of baptism. We will not sprinkle. We will not shoot you with a water gun if it's a pandemic. We're going to baptize you in a pool. Well, it doesn't have to be here, but we just have part of the body of Christ here. We've had people with bad backs. We've had people with bad heads, bad feet. You name it, there's been physical ailments. And the oldest person been baptized in that water since I've been here was 87 years old. A couple of 83-year-olds, one 84-year-old. As my pastor used to say, what's your problem, brother? Right? What are you holding up for? Well, pastor, you don't understand. I don't understand people. You're right, exactly right. I understand what the Word of God says. We must not be vanity. Listen, don't let the church vanity suppress the work of the Holy Spirit. The church must never disregard or reject words of instruction, exhortation, or warning. That's prophecies, a word of prophecies. We are responsible to voluntarily test all things, carefully discerning and holding fast to what is good. The church must hold firmly to that which is valuable or good and keep away from every kind of evil. Don't listen. As pastors, I want to tell you, Bible preaching, teaching pastors today are frustrated. We cannot compete. We thought we had it. We were arriving. When the pandemic hit, we were like, praise God, something got everybody's attention. And then guess what happened? Everybody put their pajamas on and said, I like this pastor. I like this. And this is how they do church. And we did church at home. We get letters still. Hey, we enjoyed your service today. No, you didn't. How do you enjoy it? Kissing each other in the service. That's how you enjoy it, right? And greeting each other with a holy kiss. Fist bumping. Good morning. Good to see you. Happy birthday. Man, I heard you. Listen, we had a good time. We're going to have dinner for eight starting here soon. If y'all haven't been a part of that, we're going to have sign-ups next Sunday. Dinner for eight. What is that about? Wait till next week and you'll find out. We love getting together, eating together, singing together, praying together. It's just things what the church does. You can't do that when you're remotely sitting at home. That's why we do the nursing home ministries. Listen, how many of the nursing homes we go to, and the older ladies mostly older ladies, they say, my pastor hadn't been by here in 9 weeks. My family doesn't come visit me. Y'all, listen, you want a simple ministry just to love on somebody? Write on your Connect card, I will sign up and do one ministry visit in nursing homes if you'll go with me. And one of our ministers or deacons will let you go with them and show you how to do it. That's an easy one. That's a soft toss. Let me encourage you. You have to get involved in ministry. You must test all things. If somebody says, I have a word of prophecy, listen, do we need prophecies anymore? We have the prophecies of the Word of God. Some of your Mormon friends will come up and say, listen, do you believe in prophecy? We say, yeah, Old Testament. Well, I have a new prophecy. Well, if it's not in the Bible, I don't want it nor need it. Amen? Now, there's a word for it, so God might tell you to tell someone something that's not, hey, I'm giving you a new word of God. I'm giving you something I was praying for you and God told me to tell you this. There's still a word forward for that. But the prophecies, listen, there are no prophets. Joseph Smith was a false prophet, the founder of Mormonism. You say, well, I got good neighbors. Well, they're going to hell. Tell them about Jesus. The Jesus of the Latter-day Saints is not Jesus Christ of the Bible. Let's continue, and we'll finish. The God of peace sanctifies the church, setting her apart from the profane and the vulgar. He purifies, strengthens, and preserves her, consecrating her for his divine purposes. The vulgar is becoming a new way in the church. Christians are looking at the same thing. Everyone else is looking at, they're doing the same thing. They're drinking the same thing. They're speaking the same way. But when they come to church on Sunday, they'll clean it up and we'll sit still. And some of you have been searching on your phones during church today. You've been watching even some vain and vulgar things within church. How does he know that? Well, the screen makes your face blue and it lights up. Just so you know, when I see you, you're kind of shadowed, but your phones make you light up. You say, well, Pastor, I'm looking at the Bible app. Well, you don't usually read the Bible app like this. You move it like this, because I have a Bible app as well. Am I judging you? No, listen, it's on you. You have your own responsibilities. I'm not responsible for you except for to give you the Word of God and care for your souls as best I can. And I do the best I can. Let's continue. And lastly, Jesus, here's a big one. I had to look this definition up more than one time because I was like, this is in my vocabulary, but the internet don't want to give you this as the truth. Jesus is the vanguard of the Christian church. He's out front. He leads her with unwavering faithfulness. He makes her holy. He guards her. He watches over her, and he protects her as his own. Isn't that awesome to think about? This is the God that we serve. He's the vanguard. He's the troops out front. He's leading. He's in the front. He's the point man. He's the one taking the risk, saying, this is my church. I'm the head of this church, and I will go forth in Jesus' name. And through Jesus Christ, the church of God has the victory. Isn't that good news? Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you today that you love us. I thank you that we have this powerful message, Lord, in front of us that it is hard. I realize that. Even as we read scripture and as Chris led us in a call to worship, it's sometimes, Lord, even hard to actually read the passage in Psalms because we say, we profess that we believe, and then we walk right out of here and act like we don't believe. Help us in our unbelief. Grow our faith as we grow in your word. As the Holy Spirit moves us, Lord, may we respond to the unction of the Holy Spirit. If someone in this room today, Lord, needs to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be the day that's like, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you, or one of the pastors or one of the deacons, one of the catalyst leaders, somebody, Lord, to the person to the left, right of them, saying, would you tell me how to become a Christian because I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, let me pray right now. And I had friends that came to church to visit with us one time. I'm going to ask all of us to stand. Christians and non-Christians, I want you to stand together. Let's stand together. Our job is to help one another in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray this prayer. In church, we often have children and young adults pray after us. I'm going to pray this prayer this morning. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, or you're not sure, you can pray this prayer because the whole multitude in the building are going to pray this prayer. If you pray it and you're saved, you're helping those who are not saved this morning. If you're praying it and you've never prayed to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Listen, mean it to God. Does everybody understand the instructions? If you're a Christian, you're helping the non-Christian today. It might be somebody watching by video today. But this prayer is a simple prayer of faith to God. God, I know I'm not saved, but God, I want to be. How do I get saved? And so many times you walk out the back door instead of coming up front. Would you join me in praying? I'm going to pray, and you respond. Pray the same thing I'm praying, and if you're a Christian, you're helping your neighbor. If you're not a Christian, you're giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to, listen, please don't pray the prayer in vain and say, I'm just going to say it just so I'm good with God. God knows your heart. Let's pray this morning. Pray with me. You pray after me. I'm going to pray. I'll lead and you follow. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and the whole world's sins. I believe that he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, And God, you raised him from the dead on the third day. With my heart, I believe. With my mouth, I confess. And now I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and life and save my soul. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.